I'm Dean Jackson. He's Joe Polish. And this is the I Love Marketing Podcast.
Jackson
and Mr. Joe Polish, like nail polish or shoe polish,
toe polish.
That's right,
something like that.
Okay,
so Joe,
go ahead.
You know, I'm very excited today because we have Brattleboro, Vermont's happiest millionaire on the phone today.
Yep, that is true.
With us right now,
it's a very special moment in I Love Marketing history.
It really is, Telman Knutson.
Telman, how you doing?
You know, I love cheese.
I do too. Who doesn't?
Me and Dean are actually going to talk about that on a upcoming episode of I Love Marketing, although I don't eat any dairy whatsoever. But we will talk about cheese as it relates to marketing analogies. So, well, Dean, go ahead and say something, whatever you're about to say, and then I'd like to ask Telman, who is he? Because I know Telman very well. I've had some very unique experiences with Telman, marketing and otherwise, which we will talk about. But what do you have to say before we ask for our listeners, Telman, to describe who he is and what
well,
he does?
Well, I'm excited about that, too. And I'd like to hear Telman tell everybody who he is here. I've had some fun experiences with Telman, too, but not anything like what...
Not nearly as intimate.
I spent 10 days on a National Geographic ship with Telman in a cabin, and we went to Burning Man together in an RV, and
ran around in tutus.
He's I've been to Necker Island with him 3 times. Raised a whole bunch of money for teenage homelessness, and all kinds
of
stuff.
I will tell you, my favorite Telman experience so far, though, is we were in Toronto. And it was at our very first strategic coach meeting, and we were coming out of – we went to Second City, and we had – it was about maybe 11:30 or something like that. And we were, thinking, what are we going to do now? And we come out of Second City, and there's this big crane in the distance, and Telman goes, why don't we climb that thing? 11:30 at night, Telman wants to climb – a crane.
Not even Yannick was willing to climb the crane.
Exactly.
What kind of crap is that?
All
right.
Well, in your personal life, you're just batshit crazy. In your professional life, though, you are known as one of the top experts in list building for direct response marketers. So. Why don't you give us, the who is Telman Knutson elevator sort of pitch?
Yeah, well, when you said the batshit crazy thing, the thing is that's been with me long before we ever met Joe. And to be perfectly honest, I just happened to choose internet marketing and specifically email marketing as my medium to be crazy with. And I decided to get really good with it about 7 years ago or so. And so what I focus on now is I have a publishing company called Overcome Everything, and Overcome Everything is designed to allow me to go and study all sorts of crazy, weird stuff and to be able to make money with it wherever my interests go now or in the future. And email marketing was something that I – discovered as a incredible medium that allows an enormous amount of freedom and flexibility for entrepreneurs to either build their existing business on or to start a new one or to start multiple new businesses in the future that is incredibly inexpensive to start with and incredibly scalable. So you can build a huge multi-million dollar business if you want from your house with a small staff. And I'm guessing most of the people that will end up listening to this already do email marketing and have already started using that as a component in their business. But I use email marketing in all of my various business endeavors. My background is as a hypnotherapist, and I did that for about 7 years before I went online, and I went online in order to learn how to sell recordings of my hypnosis techniques. And so I have a whole separate company that focuses on that, and we really specialize in working with attention deficit disorder. But we use email marketing and direct response email marketing in order to market that side of the business. Then, as you mentioned earlier, we ended up raising a bunch of money for youth homelessness in America, and we did that through Virgin Unite and then Run Telman Run, which is my nonprofit called Telman.org, that we're in the process of raising $100 million to fight youth homelessness in America. Did my first round at running across America without shoes on, started in 2009, got my ass handed to me, and am now back in training to try to be the first.
You know, it's pretty amazing how far you did get. Really, that's quite an accomplishment. You ran all the way to Ohio barefoot.
Southern West Virginia. Ran through Pennsylvania, through Ohio. Yeah. Yeah, 654 miles without shoes on. It was pretty intense. Pretty intense without a doubt.
What's the longest you ever ran in a single day barefoot?
I've got to say a full marathon, about 26 miles. Well, I may have done more than that, broken up over the course of the day. But I mean, as far as in one shot, beginning to end, basically without stopping, about a full marathon, yeah.
Wow.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, well, in the process of learning, you know, all and again, we won't spend too much time on your history. I mean, there's plenty of stuff online. People can find out about you if they want to know your whole story. We kind of want to go right into, you know, defining email marketing, defining list building, and talking about strategies and tactics that all of our I Love Marketing listeners can incorporate into their businesses, from brick and mortar to, you know, information marketers, to the whole gamut of people that we have on the line. And so if you were talking to a newbie about your skill, about your expertise, about where you've focused all of this energy and I know you're really one of the most rabid learners that I know. I mean, you've read lots of books, you've attended lots of seminars, you are definitely not shy about investing in your craft. I mean, you've gone to Necker Island 3 different times with us, you know, paying upwards of anywhere from $40,000 to $75,000 per trip. You're in my 25K group. You have your own masterminds and stuff. You have thousands of clients all over the world. So you're definitely, I say all that because I want everyone to know that not only are you a teacher, but you're an incredible student. And you invest in learning this stuff. And if there's any one person I would ever say that could teach anyone a lot about how to do list building, it's you, because you've taught many, many mom and pop startups and, you know, multi-millionaires and famous celebrities and you name it. You've had so much experience in a variety of stuff. So going back to my question of, like, a newbie, why should someone care about list building? What is list building and why should someone care about it?
Yeah, so list building is a jargon term, right? It's a jargon term for people who are in the know. Most people who start out start thinking email marketing. I should be part of this whole internet thing, right? And email for most people is on the internet is what we call the least common denominator. Everyone on the internet has an email address. Everybody has an email address, so it doesn't matter whether you're signed up to Facebook or Twitter. In order to register for Facebook or Twitter, you have to first have an email address that you use in order to register. In order to sign up for America Online, you have an email address that you start with. You know, America Online obviously has taken a little bit of a, you know, slowdown here in the last bit. But the point is, for folks that are thinking about starting up online, the real focus is email marketing, because it's the easiest, quickest, cheapest, most measurable, most profitable way to immediately get started marketing your business or your idea on the internet if you're looking to make your living from wherever it is you live. I personally live in rural Vermont. The economy here has always sucked, and I love it here. People are really nice. They're cool. I don't have to worry about lots of idiots doing stupid things around me all the time, and it's a great place to live. So it's pretty nice to be able to run a multi-million dollar company from your home, from a place as remote as rural Vermont. I absolutely love it. So if you're thinking about how do I start a business online, or specifically how do I bring an existing business online, email marketing is the most powerful way to go, simply on the basis that the entire internet revolves around email at the end of the day. Everything else is in addition to. So I learned this a long time ago, and I was very lucky to learn it, and decided to focus all my attention on it. And when I got started, I didn't know anything about email marketing. I did not have an email list. I was working with clients one-on-one locally, and I was tired of people not paying enough and not showing up to their appointments with me, and I needed to figure out a way to go global with it so I could really scale my time and effort and energy expended. So for me, as a hypnotherapist, as a hypnotist, email marketing allowed me to go from seeing clients one-on-one to seeing clients globally, to selling products and services to clients globally, but I didn't have to leave my house to do it. So it was a pretty big point of freedom for me when I really started learning this stuff.
So you started applying it to your hypnosis business? Is that the first place you started?
Yeah, that's where I started. I always wanted to specialize in working with attention deficit disorder. I was diagnosed a long, long time ago with ADD, and when I first started studying hypnosis and NLP while I was in college, I discovered some techniques that allowed me to actually get decent grades, that allowed me to complete my papers that I was working on, that allowed me to feel at ease and feel good when I was working on things that weren't necessarily incredibly fun, and to be able to do it without medication, right? And so when I started my hypnosis business, after working for another hypnotherapist for about a year and a half, I really specialized on weight loss and smoking, because that's what people go to see hypnotherapists for, is weight loss, smoking, and stress. Those are kind of the big three of the hypnosis world. I live in a rural area. I wanted to focus on two things. I wanted to focus on attention deficit disorder and helping people with hypnosis to be more effective long-distance runners. And I couldn't find enough people with ADD and who were dedicated to being long-distance runners who wanted hypnosis as a way of becoming better at dealing with those things. And I ended up saying, okay, well, this kind of sucks. I'm just barely making it by. I did some math. I was almost 200 grand in debt from previous failed business attempts, i.e. credit card debt, and a little over $80,000 in debt from college loans. And I did some math and realized I was going to have to work at my current rate for about 14 hours a day for 7 days a week for 7 years in order to pay off my debt and live what was then my current standard of living, which really was a lot of ramen noodles in an apartment, and it really was not that fun. So I turned to the internet and then email marketing to learn how to sell recordings of my hypnosis sessions online all around the world without taking any more of my time, effort, and energy. I took my knowledge, packaged it to use a little Joe Polish term, to can and clone what I knew and sell it all around the world. And I remember very clearly the first day where what would happen is if I would have a no-show, which is essentially if a client doesn't show up for their appointment with you, everyone who does a service-based business where your client comes to you, whether it's you're a doctor or a dentist or a chiropractor or a massage therapist or a psychotherapist or whatever, you have no-shows. You have people that don't show up for a myriad of reasons. And when I remember the first day where my no-shows made me more money than the people that actually did show up to pay me. Because when I would have my no-shows, I'd work on my internet business. And it was a glorious day, the day that the people that didn't show up, you know, that didn't show up for their appointments ended up inadvertently making me more money than the people that did. So it was a very exciting moment.
So what did you do at first? What was the first thing that you tried when you, so you had the idea that you wanted to now reach the world. And so what was the first thing that you did?
The very first thing that I did was the very first thing a lot of people do, and it was the wrong thing, which was I had a buddy from high school that I still work with now, but I had a buddy from high school named Kyle Battis. And Kyle Battis and I hadn't spoken for about 4 years. We just lost touch after high school. We were good acquaintances, but we weren't really close. And Kyle had gone on to become a personal trainer. And we both have younger siblings that were in the same grade together. And they had run into each other at a local – we grew up in New Hampshire. They had run into each other at a local bonfire, which is what our – I don't know about where you guys grew up or what high schools you went to, but the big thing for the year where we grew up were bonfires, where they'd throw a bunch of wood into the field and cover it in kerosene and light the whole thing on fire, and that was the big, you know, high school hoedown. And
that was before Facebook, right?
What's that?
That was before Facebook.
Well before Facebook. And
yeah,
so
bonfires have kind of been ruined since I think Facebook.
Perhaps. I'd have to check in. I'd have to check in on it. Damn Facebook ruined the bonfires. Anyway, so our younger siblings, my sister Sarah and Kyle's younger brother Brent, ran into each other at a bonfire, and they started talking about what Kyle and I were both doing. And Kyle was a personal trainer, and I had become a hypnotist, and we were both working with weight loss a lot as a result. So we ended up getting together and talking, and I had started studying all this internet stuff, and we actually created a product. And we ended up, over the next couple of months, getting together, and that was, I don't know if you guys remember mini discs or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was when mini discs first were catching on, and I remember we went to my dad's house up in his spare bedroom, and we recorded a course on a Sony mini disc recorder called The 5 Keys to Permanent Fat Loss, from both a personal training side, so a nutrition and fitness side, and then for me from the hypnosis and mental side. And then I proceeded to write my first sales letter, which was the worst thing ever. And we got really disgruntled and, you know, discouraged when no one would buy any of the stuff that we were offering. You know, we were like, what's going on? We wrote a sales letter. We started a website. We bought this templated package for $29.95 a month. You know, why aren't we millionaires yet, you know? And so that's how I started online, is I started by getting my ass completely handed to me by spending a long time making a course and then wondering why no one would buy from my sales letter and wondering why I didn't have enough traffic and not having any idea where to start.
Mm-hmm. So that is the mistake that a lot of people make, isn't it, that they put all the effort into the product and then they think just by having completed it, that's the ticket. And now the world's going to open up and everybody's going to find it and buy it and everything will be happily ever after.
Incorrect. Yeah, that's exactly what most people think going in, myself included, you know. And come to find out, lo and behold, your product actually does matter, but what actually matters are other human beings, just like you and me. You know, what actually matters is the people and your relationship with them. To buy a myriad of products and services from you in the future. You know, your local corner convenience store that's run. I earlier today, I finished work a little bit early, and I walked about a mile down the street with my 4-year-old son Torger, and we went to the local convenience store to buy some cheese of all things, because we were going to have some nachos for dinner. And you know, the local convenience store is owned by this woman who has, you know, and her husband who've been there forever, and I think her mom, who is probably 90 plus, was sitting there watching the TV, who clearly couldn't hear a thing, just hanging out, and it was a, you know, they didn't accept credit cards. You had to go to the ATM in the back in order to pay them. And the thing is that it's about the local neighborhood relationship that really makes it work, and that's why they're still in business and why they're not falling apart. So just like that relationship online, it works exactly the same way. If you don't take the time to develop a relationship with your prospects or your customers, you're probably not going to have a whole heck of a lot. Even if you have the best product in the world, no one will trust you or know you well enough in order to buy it from you.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it is so true about – one thing I want to point out that you said that I think is worth mentioning. Day before yesterday, I was in San Diego, and Andy Jenkins, the video boss dude, was interviewing me. And one of the things that he's talked about in the past is that how much money he spent learning, you know, certain things about business and how – he teaches people how to use video, and one of the things he talks about is to learn all kinds of technical stuff. You could spend a couple of years in going to a university or college or specialized course and learning all kinds of stuff about video. About 95% of it is not needed in terms of just knowing what you need to do in order to put, you know, a good video together. I mean, you can do this for a few hundred dollars with, you know, softwares and stuff that are, you know, readily available. And if you spent, you know, he showed an example of how one school you could spend $80,000 going to, and it would not teach you a single thing about, once you know how to put together video, actually how to make money or how to build your business. You talked about how you were in debt from, you know, your education on how to have a business and stuff, and so what you ended up doing is you figured out how to, you know, reinvent where you were at, or it would have taken you 7 years in order to, you know, void of going bankrupt, it would have taken you 7 years to pay that off, and you still would have lived a meager existence. And what you found relatively quickly, because I've seen you, you know, go from a guy that was just like, you know, a startup to running a multi-million dollar business because you learned a couple of things. One, you learned, you know, how to effectively use your chosen distribution system, which was email marketing. But secondly, you learned how to do marketing. And this is going to sound completely basic, but what is marketing? Like, you know, when someone asks you, what's marketing, what do you tell them? What does marketing mean to you?
Huh. Good question, Joe. No one's ever said what is marketing. I think everybody has an opinion, and probably everybody's wrong. I don't know that it's a thing that can be completely pigeonholed, right? But let me maybe spin it a different way, right? Which is I often try to teach people about where money comes from, and so where does money come from? And I guess technically marketing is the process where which money comes from. So in my mind, money comes from helping people. And the better you get at helping people, the more efficient you get at helping people, the more successful you are at genuinely helping people, both at a deeper level and at a mass level. So it's a quality and a quantity issue. So the better you get quality at helping more people, quantity, the more money you end up getting as a byproduct, right? The more money you end up getting as a byproduct. So marketing is the process in which you help people and end up getting money as a byproduct.
I like it.
Good.
I like it. Dean, did you want to say anything to that before?
No, I like that. That's good. But, I mean, you know, the whole thing, the premise of it is that the thing that drives it is that you actually have something that helps people.
Yes. Well, here's the key that people forget. And when it comes back down to starting with a product like I attempted to do, and again, failed miserably, let me circle back around to how I ended up making my first $1 million online by not selling my own product, because I clearly sucked at that. You know, the real interesting thing is money comes from having something that truly helps people, and that doesn't mean having your own product to sell. That's not the same thing. It can be the same thing, but it's not absolutely required. Again, name a convenience store or a corner store that produces their own groceries.
Right.
Doesn't happen. They don't have their own product.
Right.
It's you know, that's a great analogy, because what is a grocery store? In a lot of ways, it's a middleman. It's a distribution system. It's a place to go to get the stuff. And I look at email as an example, you know, like the three things you need in order to sell something, product or service is the
yep.
first, sales pitch, or call it a marketing message, second, and third is a distribution system. The distribution system could be, in this case, email. It could be telemarketing, radio, TV, direct mail, you know, any form of online or offline advertising, a blog, social media. You just happen to specialize in email marketing, and you also are very, you know, good at many forms of, you know, blogging, social media, crowdsourcing. There's a whole variety of stuff that you have pretty deep specialization in, but your main core one is email marketing, and it's a distribution system. But I think a great thing to, without sounding redundant to our listeners, is, you know, any great marketer that I know is always marketing focused, not product focused. And there are so many people that fail time and time and time and time again because they focus on the glop, what it is they sell, but they do not focus on the selling, the communication, the unique packaging, the distribution of the stuff. And until you get that out of your head, the chances of having success with it are very slim. And the challenge is there's always those, you know, those rare situations where someone invents something that's never existed before, and because it exists and everybody wants it, at the time that it just happened to either stumble across their, you know, their creativity or whatever, that people think that, well, if you just invent the pet rock, you're going to get rich. Well, for every person that invented a product that wasn't a great marketer, there are tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of people that have really great products and services that are broke because they never kind of get the marketing part of it.
Well, you know, marketing is a lot like relationships, Joe. So if you spend all of your time looking in the mirror, telling the world how amazing you are, I mean, you're the product, okay? You're the product. And if you spend all of your time, effort, and energy on yourself, that's all fine and good, but no one else is going to give a damn. Versus if you actually spend some time, effort, and energy on the other person and the relationship you want to be involved with, right? The girlfriend or the boyfriend or whatever the case is, it, like, nobody actually cares about the stuff that much. What they care about is the relationship between them and you. And so it's a matter of taking your focus off yourself and putting your focus on somebody else. And ideally, a lot of other people that would be perfect to happen to buy your product, whatever that happens to be. So you kind of know that you're doing it, but at the same time, you're genuinely focused on helping other people first. And that makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, we talked earlier on a prior I Love Marketing episode about how, you know, selling is really serving people, and salespeople are saviors in a lot of ways. And, you know, I mean, I think, you know, do you hear that fax signal in the background? Are you trying to pull something funny here, Dean?
Faxing?
Yeah,
I don't hear any faxing.
I
hear like a weird dial-up or fax symbol or something in the background while we're doing I Love Marketing here. That's very strange. Maybe that's like some sort of marketing god that's trying to...
Can you hear the voices in my head?
I see dead people.
Exactly. That's
what I'm Oh, boy. Okay, so, well, Telman, let's talk about some strategies and some tactics for people to use with email marketing. I mean, most people are on email and use email. Most people get used by email because, you know, who knows if they have a really systematic, intelligent way of best using it to go and get money and to communicate and build a list and all of that stuff. So I like to go through some of the fundamentals of, you know, getting started to, you know, what do you use to, you know, mistakes to avoid and that sort of stuff. And there's really probably not one place to start, but, you know, you're the man. So whenever you're kind of, you had to imagine in just a short period of time, you got tens of thousands of people taking your advice, which you do have here on the I Love Marketing episode. You know, what are some of the things they need to know in order to make money and be effective with this stuff?
All right. Well, when you talk about a distribution mechanism, right? So email, as far as the internet is concerned, is the winner. You can argue it if you want, but you'd be wrong. Email is the winner of distribution mechanisms on the internet, period. Maybe it'll change in the future. For the moment, that's it. It's also extraordinarily inexpensive and extraordinarily measurable, meaning you can see the results that your stuff is getting. It's incredibly trackable, and you can see everything that you do. So with that said, if you're going to get started with email marketing, the first and most important thing that you've got is this issue of what is your list worth? What is your list worth? So how many people are on your email list? Most people who are just getting started are going to have no people on their email list or a very small number of customers or people that they've come into contact with in the past. And so the first and most important thing is to start building your list today. Start building your list today. Start building your list today. And the only way to start building your email list today is to start collecting names and email addresses on your website. First step, start collecting them. What do you use to collect names and email addresses? You use what's called in the biz an autoresponder. An autoresponder. An autoresponder. Joe, do you have an autoresponder?
You're saying an autoresponder, and yes, I do have one.
Dean, do you have an autoresponder?
I do. I have several.
I also have several.
Considering Dean is, you know, the guy credited with inventing the squeeze page.
The man who invented the squeeze page. By the way, there is going to be a statue erected of Dean Jackson, the man who invented the squeeze page. So please stay tuned for the 80-foot Dean Jackson that we're going to erect in honor of the man who changed the face of the internet permanently. Just keep that in the back of your head.
Okay.
Well, and unlike Al Gore, there's actual evidence that Dean actually did create the first opt-in page.
That's right.
Squeeze page, not opt-in, because there were people that, opt-in page, where the single, like, mechanism to go to the next page is there. You know, people, you know, someone
okay.
I'm sure came up with.
So let's
want to be clear.
Let's talk about the squeeze page, since we have the man that invented this on the phone. What I'd like to say is, so what is a squeeze page, or what is an opt-in page, or what is a, I know there are all sorts of funny terms, there's the fly catcher page and the blah, blah, blah page. At the end of the day, it's the type of page that gets the most opt-ins, that gets the most people on your email list, period. It's a type of page that wins the day consistently. So Dean, being the inventor of the squeeze page, could you tell us how this works?
Well, you know, my whole thought, when I realized that the answer to really building a long-term sustainable business is having a way to communicate with a group of people who want to hear from you by email again and again and again, so much more valuable than just having concentrating on getting a bunch of people to come to your website. Felt like it's so much more powerful if you can get them to come to your website once and get them to at least leave their name and email address so that if they leave, I didn't even care if they ever came back to my website, because all I was focused on was can I communicate with them and engage them in a dialogue. So every time there were people who were using opt-in boxes and things where you'd put a little sign-up box on your website. You'd have all these other things that people could click on. But what I determined and what I found out was when I put, instead of click here, click here, click here, to give people lots of options of things to do on a website, I took the table of contents of Cosmo Magazine approach. And I would put little headlines and little blurbs about what was inside. And instead of saying click here, I would say free inside. And then I'd have another little blurb and I'd say more inside, free inside. And you'd see all these things that you could get. And then right there, in order to get them, was a big little, a big box that said free instant access. Just use your name and your email address and come inside. And so the distinction was that it wasn't one of the options that people had when they came to the site to leave their name and email. It was the only option that they had. And I found that when I did that, that got me the highest percentage of people who came to the site to leave their name and email, which was my number one objective.
Bingo.
So that, just focusing on that number one objective to the exclusion of all the others, I didn't care about the people who left without leaving their name and email, because if the copy and the things that I was offering on the site were not of enough interest that they would leave their name and email for them, then there was not a chance that they were going to be a real prospect, you know?
Yes. Well, Dean, I have to say thank you.
Well, you're welcome, Talman.
Because the squeeze page changed my life.
Mine too.
I mean, the squeeze page single-handedly went from $200,000 in debt to multi-million-dollar business. So that was a pretty important little invention you came up with.
Yeah, and what has been your contribution up to this point to Dean agreeing to do an I Love Marketing call? I mean,
well, hold on. Let's talk about the 80-foot statue for a second. I mean, come
on. I'm a little uncomfortable with the 80-foot statue, I got to be honest. That sounds like, I don't think there's a building in all of Winter Haven that's 80 feet tall.
That's right.
You underestimate Talman, though. I mean, you know, it's the guy that names his company Overcome Everything. And just as an example of how crazy Talman actually is, what are some of the names of some of your products and some of your companies and stuff? Because they tend to stretch the limit of human abilities. But just kind of rattle that off. I know it may sound a little off, but I think it kind of speaks to who you are.
Huh. Well, Overcome Everything was really the big one. And then when I first started my what is now my internet business, I decided that we started List Crusade. So I was on a crusade for a list. And I decided I was going to get 1 million subscribers in 6 months or less. And that was a pretty audacious goal, right? And by the way, I didn't hit it. Didn't matter, because I still ended up making $800,000 that year. That was a pretty good year for a first time out. So what I found is that setting insanely high goals for me gets me really excited, and I get distracted very, very easily. So setting insanely high goals or having an extraordinarily big vision, whether or not it's achievable, I don't really care. What I care about is my level of excitement, because my level of excitement allows me to stay focused on something for an extended period of time without getting distracted. So if you're ADD, if anyone that's out there listening is ADD and you're wondering why you can't ever get anything accomplished, it's probably because you have shitty-ass, boring goals that nobody gives a damn about. And you might want to consider amplifying, okay? So when we decided to run across the country, I originally was going to run across the country, and that was a pretty big goal, and then decided to, instead of raise $10 million for youth homelessness, decided to raise $100 million for youth homelessness. and then flipped it around and decided to run across the country barefoot while raising $100 million for youth homelessness, because I needed to keep on amping it up in order to maintain my own attention span on the topic. So, you know, those are some of the areas. I guess I could probably do a better job of naming things on a more insane level, on a from a product level. One of the cool ones we have is called the Perpetual Marketing Machine, which I guess isn't that intense, but it was based from the Perpetual Motion Machine. My grandfather and my great grandfather, who I am named after, worked for years on a perpetual motion machine in his shack in Wisconsin. Unfortunately, didn't pull it off. And we ended up calling one of our courses the Perpetual Marketing Machine instead of Perpetual Motion. So anyway, those are just some of the examples of some of the ways that we've applied the Overcome Everything, or as our team members and employees affectionately refer to as the Overdo Everything mentality.
I love it. Overdo Everything.
Overdo Everything. That's right.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that was a little distraction. Sorry for that. But you always love asking ADD guys, distracting sort of questions. So let's go back to the number one objective, which was to get emails in order to build a list. For instance, me selling things to carpet cleaners and me having, started as a carpet cleaner, one of the things I learned early on was there was the way, and even to this day, most companies, it's like they've got clients that are clients or customers, and then they've got people that have the potential to be clients or customers. But there's this missing thing in the middle, which is called a lead, where you actually have, someone that is not yet a customer, but has inquired, has asked, has raised their hand. It's the whole thing about permission marketing before Seth Godin ever wrote a book called Permission Marketing.
Sure.
Me and Dean, it's that sort of thing. And what you understand is that, marketing is not an event, it's a process. And if you just have a website and it sells your whatever stuff it is you sell, there's this process of capturing their name, because the real selling is not done on the website. It's done after you've gotten someone to agree to give you their name because they want more information that you're enticing them with or whatever. And then you can do follow-up where you become in control of the communication. It's not left up to them. And that you'd think would be, and I say you'd think, I mean, marketers are constantly amazed that that is not common knowledge, that, you don't just set up a website and hope that someone's going to go there and buy your stuff. You really want to capture their information, give them something of value, help them, and in the process of helping them, many of them will buy something from you, and you will be able to develop this ongoing relationship. So talk about that.
So, yeah, I mean, there aren't too many marriages that have lasted that were founded on a one-night stand. And that's basically what we're talking about here, right, is a long-term relationship versus a blind date or a one-night stand. And that's the difference. I mean, hey, if what you're going for is a one-night stand, you can get it. You can make that happen. That's within the realm of possibility. But when we're talking about marketing and long-term connection, again, let's get rid of the internet for a second. Let's just imagine that direct mail didn't even exist yet. Let's go back to the dark ages. Let's talk little villages with your local bakery, your local blacksmith shop, hopefully your local cheesemaker, and let's think about that for a second. You got two bakers in town, and they both basically make the same stuff. But one person is nice to you every time they come in, and one person doesn't give a damn and is always yelling at his kids. Well, who are you going to end up buying from? You're probably going to end up buying on a long, ongoing basis, regardless of product quality, regardless of everything else. You're probably going to end up buying from the person that's nice to you, that says, "Hey, Bob, how are you doing? It's great to see you again. How are your kids? I heard you're having a third. You know, how's your wife doing? Is everything good? Good. Here's a free baguette." Okay? So what we're talking about is, do you actually have any kind of a relationship whatsoever with your customers or your potential customers, or are you just being a punk ass and trying to get their money? Right? Mm-hmm. That's the difference. That's the difference. It's the difference between a person who has a thousand superficial relationships that neither they nor the other person care about, or a person who focuses on actually having deep, meaningful relationships with people that last a long time, that last for years. Do you focus on helping other people, or do you focus on taking as much as you can, right? And it's a very subtle stuff. This is when you actually get it to work for you, it is very, very subtle stuff. So there's this basic idea, there's this basic principle, this basic concept that's called $1 per month per subscriber. And you will find more examples of this rule not really being followed than you'll actually find examples of it actually being followed, because it's kind of a thumbnail sketch. It's an average. It's a generalized principle that you can shoot for and then focus on doing better than that as soon as you possibly can. So $1 per month per subscriber means for every person that gives you their name and email address so that they can get on your email newsletter, so that they can get your special report, so they can get your blah, 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 $1 per month per subscriber basically is this principle that if you have 10,000 people on your email list, you could make $10,000 per month as long as they're on your list. And generally speaking, it's fairly true for an average marketer in an average market. Joe, I know that your carpet cleaning list and the amount of money that you end up making as a result of all of the folks on your carpet cleaning list, you far surpass those numbers. You develop a much, much, much deeper relationship with a much smaller group of people who want to expand their business. And lo and behold, great. You know, you end up running a multi-million-dollar business even though there aren't millions of carpet cleaners in the country.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. Versus if all you're doing is selling, say, soda of some sort, say your specialized supersonic Dean Jackson cola.
Or like a cheese soda, perhaps.
Well, you know, cheese is a specialized product.
Really? That is true. Okay.
There is definitely gourmet-aged cheese, but it's hard to come across gourmet-aged soda.
Right. Well, you know, what's funny is I don't know how up to this point in this particular episode we've even, like, not mentioned the fact that you used to have a salsa company, too, which
That's
is a
right.
whole other – we'll save that for later.
I'm seriously thinking about resurrecting that company, actually.
I'm sure you are. Overcome everything. I mean, what would world domination be without having a little salsa business on the side?
We're gonna have a public salsa resurrection.
Good. Yeah, we even had a habanero eating contest in one of our 25K groups. You won that one, didn't you?
I did not lose it. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
you were
bleeding
was a little
and sweating,
weak.
But
the competition
yeah, that
was a little weak, to be honest.
Okay. All right, so continue on. Disregard my comments.
Yeah, I can't remember what I was saying. So $1 per month per subscriber. So the basic idea is that if you focus on building your email list, that's your primary objective. That's what you're spending most of your day doing, is building your email list, building your distribution mechanism, so that you become your own media, okay? Yes, you might be able to buy advertising other places and go out to other places and so on and so forth, but at the end of the day, You become your own media. You become the go-to place for information regarding your topic. Whatever it is that you're selling as a result is a side note. And when it comes to really building that relationship out, the number one mistake that most people make, no matter what kind of business they run, is that they don't communicate with people that love them enough. They don't communicate with them enough. So you don't communicate with your customers frequently enough. You don't communicate with your potential customers frequently enough. If you're an offline business that runs a fashion boutique, you do not send enough emails to the people that love the stuff that you sell. If you did, you'd multiply your business by 2, 3, 4, 5, even 10 times if you got halfway decent at this. Okay? Never mind all the people that walk in the door that don't buy anything. You don't even try to contact them. You're wasting all of that money that you're spending on a storefront on Main Street by not collecting the names and email addresses of every single person that walks in the door. Number one mistake that restaurants make, same issue. They don't collect names, emails, cell phone numbers of their clients and customers that walk in the door. You can't ever offer a special. You can't ever offer a coupon. You can't ever offer anything to people because you don't have their contact information, for Christ's sake. So the basic idea here is, if you want complete and total control of your business, the first thing that you will do is start collecting names and email addresses and, if appropriate, cell phone numbers for your prospects and your customers, online or offline, effective immediately. If you are not doing this, you are just flushing money down the toilet, and it is dumb. So please start doing it, and start doing it now. There's a myriad of places that you can go in order to start building your email list from a technological perspective. I would recommend any of the three. I would recommend AWeber if you're already online and just kind of getting rolling. I would recommend iContact if you've been online for a long time and your autoresponder that you're using right now sucks. iContact is great, and you can import people in as long as they're all legit. And if you're just getting started and you're an offline business and you're looking to really get things fired up, I recommend MailChimp. MailChimp is really, really, really good. And they're fantastic for most businesses that already exist and want to start adding on an email component. But your primary objective is building your email list, because it's dirt cheap to send to it and will make you more money than you know what to do with if you do it right. So email marketing and list building is a area of marketing that it's just ridiculous how many people don't employ, and if they did, they'd be able to make so much more income.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
That's right.
So, Dean, we could just end right now, and that piece of advice, if it really penetrates the heads of our listeners, and we know a lot of our I Love Marketing, you know, clan, crew, listeners, subscribers, et cetera, are already doing this, and this will reinforce that this is a very smart, intelligent thing to do. And for a lot of other people that are kind of sort of doing this, this will amplify, to use your words, Telman, this will amplify what it is you're doing. And in a lot of ways, I think that's what I Love Marketing serves for a lot of our listeners, is just it amplifies and enhances what they're already doing. And for other people, I absolutely agree. This is the dumbest thing on the planet, that you can walk into 99% of all businesses and see day in, day out. They never capture the information. And even if they sort of do, there's not some, real, like even restaurants. I mean, I've gone to a million restaurants where...
Great restaurants.
Expensive locations.
Killer food.
No email capture.
No email.
No, and even that, even the ones that do have it, like they'll put it in the bill,
menu, they should say, give us your name and email address for a free bowl of our miso soup.
They miso soup at Italian restaurants too. As a matter of fact, I think every every ice cream place on the planet that actually serves, you know,
one
food
free
with
scoop
with toxic dairy in it. You know, did I say I don't eat dairy, by the way? Did I mention that? You know, they should even, you know, free cheese for your email.
That's right.
Perfect. There you go.
At the ice cream store.
Well, Joe, you know, I mean, we could end here, but what we haven't heard is what kind of things do you say in those emails? Because Telman has made such a study of this, of being a little bit outrageous in the emails that he sends and a little bit out of the ordinary. And I'd love to hear some of the best things that you've learned, Telman, about what do you say when you're communicating with people and what your overall philosophy is about that.
Yeah. So,
how do you get your emails read? How do you get people to open them? That sort
right
of stuff.
Okay. So I was expecting this one to come up, and I have two answers for you that I'd like to give off the top of my head here. So number one is, I do not know for certain the average age of folks who listen to I Love Marketing. I have a guess, but I don't know for certain. What I do know is that I have a secret weapon, and the secret weapon works every time, unquestionably, and it is diabolical, it's devious, and insanely profitable.
Ooh.
But I've never taught it publicly, and I'd like to share it with the I Love Marketing folks if you guys are cool with that.
That's perfect.
Go for it.
All right. So it's – I like to call it the mom sniper.
The mom sniper?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay,
that sounds
the mom sniper.
Beautiful name. Yeah, I could see
MSL.
The fan mail showing up now.
And here's how it works. My mom, I'm happy to say, is still alive, and she will be for quite some time, I hope. And she sends me email. And my mom, bless her, sends me a lot of email I really don't want to get. Okay? She sends me forwarded emails that she gets from people that she works with. My mom is a she manages – I'm probably a little off on this because she gets promoted a lot, but she manages a group of phone nurses that all work from home, so that people call in and they need medical advice over the phone. And so my mom used to do that, and now she manages this, you know, thing, and she works and, you know, does the stuff with Humana and all this stuff. But the point is, she gets these emails from these people that she works with, and they're these forwarded emails that have been sent to who knows how many other women, and they are either full of cats, or they're like a really dumb joke, or a bunch of pictures of very cheesy scenes, whatever, okay? These emails that you receive, usually from upper middle-aged women, are gold, okay? The absolute gold mine. And here's how you can tell if an email that your mom or maybe your aunt or even your sister or possibly your wife might send you. Here's how you can determine whether or not it's a gold mine. Okay. It's very simple. You look at how many layers deep of forwards are encompassed in the message. The more layers of forwards that you see, the more valuable the email is.
It's like a five-star email, five forwards deep.
Five forwards is five stars. It's like layers of gold buried beneath the Earth's surface.
Yes.
Okay? And here's why. There are two primary mechanisms in an email that cause an email to be circulated, okay, or to be effective. One the subject line. Okay.
Yeah.
This is not going to be a shocker for most people on the line. Okay. Most people listening in. I guess nobody's on the line. I guess most people listening to the podcast.
Yeah, they're on iTunes or they're on ilovemarketing.com.
Right. If you're tuning in on your ham radio. okay. So number one is the subject line. Your subject line determines how many people open your email. Okay. The
mm-hmm.
second thing, the second big thing that you have influence over is the content of your email. There is a third component, which is who it's from. Is it from someone you know, like, and trust or not? But if you're sending email to people that are on your email list and they know you, they like you, and hopefully they trust you, then you've got that dialed in. So the two things that you have immediate control over are your subject line and the body copy of your email, what is actually in there. What I'm teaching you here is an extraordinary swipe mechanism. So first of all is the subject line. If you get an email from your mom or someone like your mom, and it says forward, 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 you know, I don't know, Princess Kitten or something, then chances are pretty good that it's been forwarded at least three times, and you can go and you can look at it, and what you'll usually see is all sorts of mismatched forwarded text. Okay, you'll see some blue, and you'll see some purple, and you'll see some, you know, weird Linux email thing or something, but you'll see all these different layers of chevrons and where one person forwarded it on to everybody in their email address book, and then another person forwarded it on to everyone in their email address book, and then another person forwarded it on to everyone in their email address book. And so here's how you can use this another version of the forward, right, is basically any type of email chain mail. Okay, email chain mail is an extraordinary opportunity waiting for you. So what you want to do is the call to action in these types of emails that are successfully forwarded on to multiple layers of people, multiple generations of people, is usually a bit of text that says, forward this on to all your friends or you will die in the next 72 hours, or something dumb like that. Yet, for some reason, people continue to forward it. So what you do is right after it says, forward it on to all these people in the next 72 hours or you will die, or whatever the thing is that tells you to send it to everybody in your address book, or the end of the email before you see all the forwarded stuff, that's where you insert an extra line or two of text, which is a cleverly disguised ad for your product or service.
Okay.
Okay?
So give
the
us
better
example.
Your product or service matches with the type of people that read and forward these emails, the more successful you will be.
Right.
So what you're saying is that everyone that's listening should actually insert, like, something along the lines of go listen to ilovemarketing.com or your head will explode.
That'd be a
or the five other things that you just thought that you didn't actually say. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yes.
There you go.
Okay. And then what you do is you take that email message and you copy it into your autoresponder and you send out a broadcast to all 100,000 of your subscribers. And you will see the open rates and the call to action rates on that like nothing you've ever witnessed in your life.
Wow, that's brilliant.
That is good.
I've tried it a bunch of times, and it works every time.
And that right there, that's an I Love Marketing exclusive.
It is.
Never, you've never shared that before.
I've shared it I shared it at 25K, but never publicly. Certainly never for free.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, that's very good. Thank you. let's do this, because Talman, we are right at the tipping point of being, you know, maintaining our time period that we give for
at the cusp.
Yes, at the cusp. Email, technology, all this is a pretty expansive thing. It changes on a regular basis. There's fundamentals that I think are never going to change, you know, such as, you know, human behavior and all that sort of stuff. I always love the line that, you know, technology is important, but psychology is infinitely more important. So understanding the psychology and the mindset of the person you're selling to and understanding marketing is critical and crucial. And on future episodes and also on many past episodes for people that have not listened to I Love Marketing from the very beginning, you will constantly hear me and Dean either talk about or interview people that are talking about what to say, how to say it. And email is just a, you know, area where you can do a lot and build a list. So for people to, you know, continue to improve their, you know, knowledge and usage of email marketing, what are some recommendations for them? I'd like to plug runtelmanrun.com, so that if anyone that would like to support you in, you know, doing you as much as you can to eradicate teenage homelessness in the United States, that's awesome. What are some other things that people can do to either your own stuff or other things that you recommend people study, learn, read, et cetera, other than, you know, of course, ilovemarketing.com. What are some things you recommend for people to just continue to be really awesome at doing email marketing?
Sure. Well, for the shameless self, you know, promotion, where you can get on our email marketing newsletter list and check out all the cutting edge stuff that we're doing, just go to overcomeeverything.com, put in your email, and buy everything we offer you. So overcomeeverything.com, put in your name and email address, and buy everything that I offer you. So that's step one. You know, there's another site that's actually quite good, but not nearly as good as overcomeeverything.com. Which is actually copyblogger.com. I don't have any association with them whatsoever. I haven't even met any of the copyblogger guys. But copyblogger is a great, great thing to look at in terms of once you start building your email list, what are some really interesting ways you can think about it in a way that's non-hypey and just really wonderful. Copyblogger, I have to give a thumbs up to. Really, really, really good stuff there. And if you're really into the email marketing thing and the list building thing specifically, you can go to listbuilding.com. Pretty straightforward, and you can learn everything there is to know about list building in the world. So that's what I have to say about that. The other major technique that I just want to give you before we hopefully, you know, get this phone call cut off is take a message. If you have an email list, take a message that you got from a friend or coworker that you opened up and responded to, and just model it and send it out to your list. So I just got this message from my COO, Mike Purvis, and it says, "Got your call," is the subject line, all lowercase, "got your call. Hey, Talman, got your message. Sounded very Winnie the Pooh-ish there at the beginning. Anyway, I'm around if you need to touch base. Didn't want to call the house after 9:30. So great. That's all it takes. And you could have easily hyperlinked one of those links directly to one of, you know, one of those words directly to one of your offers. So pay close attention to your email inbox, specifically emails that you get from friends or family members. Use them in order to send out to your email list now that you know that you have to put an opt-in form on your website and you have to be focused every day on building your list. That's going to make the biggest difference in the world for you.
Awesome. Well, hey, Dean, you've got the last words here. Go ahead.
Perfect. I love it when I have the last word. So I would recommend that everybody go and make sure that they get on Talman's list, overcomeeverything.com, because there's no one better to model than Talman. Talman is constantly looking for and experimenting with new ideas. And even if you don't, even if you don't have the time to go out and find these ideas, the best thing is to watch what Talman's doing, because he's modeling it for you every day. And I think you'll be excited by what you see.
And yeah. You'll want to buy everything we ever offer you via email, which, I mean, it's just a natural occurrence. It seems to happen to everybody that joins our list.
Did you just use hypnosis on our listeners?
Yeah. I don't know anything about hypnosis.
Yeah, you're trying to figure out what's going on here. Awesome. Talman, thank you. We will do a future interview on crowdsourcing when the time is right and various other stuff. And to all of our listeners, love to see your results and your feedback within 3 days of implementing every single thing that we talked about on today's episode of I Love Marketing. So go to work, make it happen, go and help a lot of people. That's what marketing is all about. And send an email right now to someone that you care about that's important in your life and tell them how important they actually are. And when they write you back, then you can blatantly take whatever it is they wrote back and use it for your, you know, little selling endeavors based on Elman's methodology. So in order to, on behalf of me and my invisible friend, I want to thank everyone for listening to I Love Marketing. And also, Dean, so you do indeed get the very last word. I cannot say anything else. You have to take it from here. Thank you, Talman. Dean, you're on.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
That was...